You'll turn there. We're going to glance at a paragraph of Scripture in the 9th and 10th chapters of Hebrews, but the selection I shall read is found in Hebrews 9, Hebrews chapter number 9. I feel just a little bit awkward about the message tonight, but I know this is what God has for this hour. And I have found it's just best to obey Him. The reason I feel a little awkward, there are about four or five folks here who attend First Baptist Church of Meredosia, Illinois. A very precious congregation, a great pastor, and I used some of these thoughts 2 or 3 weeks ago there on a Friday night. But God's got it on my heart again. Will that be all right with y'all? You say, well, we wouldn't have known if He hadn't told us. Well, they wouldn't have known, you see. And Brother King got up here and got to talking about his wife, and she apparently was hemorrhaging. She's having a problem with blood. I just happened to bring something along with me tonight. That's a big test tube. It's not full of blood, but it's full of something that I've designed to look like blood. And for a few minutes, I want to try to preach from this text on the blood. That's become a very old-fashioned subject, the blood. But I want to say tonight, I still believe in the blood. Believe I'd die and go to hell apart from the blood of the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 9, verse 11. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ, notice He didn't say Jesus could have, didn't say God, He could have, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, not this tabernacle, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained, don't you like this, eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, if that sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more? The writer of Hebrews loves the word better. He's saying this is better. How much more the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this cause He's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions were in the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. You may be seated. Thank you for standing as I tried to read the Word of God tonight. Go with me to verse number 11, if you will, and we shall begin together. I have chosen prayerfully a paragraph of Scripture that talks heavily about the blood of our Lord Jesus. You will notice it says in verse 11, but Christ being come a high priest. Simply that, Christ being come a high priest. Would you notice, as I said when I read my text, it does not call Him Jesus. It did not here choose to call Him God. He is God. He is Jesus. But it chose to call Him Christ. Every preacher in the house knows what Christ means. The word Christos means the anointed one of God. He's talking about the Messiah, God's anointed one. You probably know this, but the Jews were big on anointing certain individuals. Let me show you what I mean. You could not be a king in Israel. No king ever served in Israel unless he was anointed to be king. You say, Brother Bagel, I'm not following there. What do you mean? Remember when God sent Samuel to Jesse's house. Next king, Saul disqualified himself.
Samuel's looking for a king to anoint. Couldn't find one in the house. Young David back under watching the sheep. Finally he is brought in. Finally he's anointed. I just want to say Jesus is God's anointed one. You say, what's that got to do with being a king? Oh, let me say it real quick. Jesus is the king. He's not just the king of Israel. He's the king of everything. He's the king of the whole world. He's the king of kings, thank God. Couldn't be a king unless you had been anointed. I'll say this real quick. They anointed their preachers. You couldn't be a prophet in Israel if you didn't get anointed. Remember old Elisha? He's near the end of his career. And God says, I want you to go down yonder and anoint Elisha, prophet in your stead, in your room. And he anointed old Elisha. You just couldn't be a preacher unless you had that anointing. Pretty good thing to have today, preachers, amen. That touch of God. And Elisha, you say, good night. Brother Bible, go on with your text. I am Christ. He's the anointed one. He's not only an anointed king. I just believe he's an anointed preacher. I believe he's an anointed prophet. I believe he's the greatest prophet that ever lived. I believe he's the greatest preacher that ever preached. I tell you what, when we get to heaven, I'm going to, will y'all help me? I'm going to try to talk him into preaching a little bit. He is the preacher after all. Glory to God. How'd you like to be in on that camp meeting? Amen. When the Lord is the preacher. They not only anointed their kings, and they not only anointed their prophets, this is what I'm trying to just say real quick, they anointed their priests. You couldn't be a priest in Israel if you didn't get anointed. Psalm 133, they poured that anointing all on Aaron's head. It went down on his beard, then on the skirts of his garments. You say, good night. That preacher's a nut. He believes Jesus is a king. Uh-huh. He believes he's a prophet. Yes. But he believes he's a priest. Oh, yes. That's what I'm preaching about tonight. My, is he a priest. I would say he's a great priest. I would say he's the great high priest. Hallelujah. No priest like King Jesus. Y'all with me, aren't you? Christ. He's the anointed one of God. Watch what it says in verse 11. Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by greater and more perfect tabernacle. I don't want to take too long to get into these verses tonight. But you see, all those earthly priests, they had a tabernacle, later a temple, in which they served. Y'all can save me 10 minutes of preaching here. You'll help me, I'm serious. They ministered at an earthly tabernacle. That earthly tabernacle wasn't the real one. It is just a model. It is just a pattern. There's a real one up yonder. That's where the real tabernacle is. I'm telling you something. Jesus didn't mess around a lot with the one down here, but he's right familiar with the one up there. Praise God. He is the author, the finisher of our faith. I praise him. He's a dealing up there with us tonight. Now, I can't develop this neither, but I just believe that not only is he got a tabernacle up there, I just believe he is the tabernacle. No, you don't believe that. Yes, I do. Well, you ain't got no scripture. Listen, just try this. John 1:14. For the Word. How many of y'all believe that's Jesus? For the Word was made flesh and help me out. Dwelt. Say it again. Dwelt. Like Dr. Lockheed's just saying right now, that word dwelt, you look it up in the Greek, it's the word for tent, means he pitched the tent. See, Brother Ridley, Jesus come down here and pitched the tent. Right here, you say, what's that picture tent? He tabernacled. He tabernacled among us. He is God come to earth. He is God setting up down here, saving lost sinners. Hallelujah. He's got a better tabernacle. Holy, y'all are with me, aren't you? Let's go on in verse 11. Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once. Will y'all take this literally with me, please? Let's don't try to explain it away. Let's don't make it be a metaphor or a symbol. Let's take God at his word. Said he entered in once into the holy place. How? By his own blood. Dr. Lockie, I think he's alluding to the Day of Atonement. Don't get bogged down in the technicalities. Follow the spirit of this. On that Day of Atonement, that high priest, meticulously following all of God's rules, he went into the most holy place. He sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat. Preachers, help me. Am I basically right so far? You believe Jesus is the high priest? Uh-huh. I'm going to make an announcement. I believe Jesus' blood is unlike any blood that's ever flowed through veins that have ever walked on this earth. Brother Wade Hunley was talking a little bit about that blood this morning, and he used that word. The average belief anymore, Brother Hussey, is that the blood of Jesus dripped and seeped into the ground, and they say no doubt it went down there and it dried out and it just went the way of all other blood. It rotted or it decayed. I don't believe that for 1 minute. I believe his blood is incorruptible blood. I don't believe it did rot. I don't believe it can rot. Peter said we are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. I take that to mean his precious blood is incorruptible. Hallelujah. Incorruptible blood. By the way, if it can't rot, if it is incorruptible, it is somewhere still this very evening. Where in the world is it? This is a strange way to deal with a verse. We're going to have to recollect, I just read it. He took the blood by his own blood. He went into the holy place as my great high priest. I'm just going to tell you what I believe. You may think I'm a nut. I think I'd make a Bible case for it from my text. I believe Jesus, when he died on the cross, I believe he paid for the sin debt. That's why I need to work on this. I believe on Calvary he got the job about our redemption. Honey, I believe he paid it all on Calvary. Hallelujah. Then what did he do? He is the great high priest. I swear tell it. I believe he went to heaven, sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat in glory as my great high priest. After discussing this with some young boys a few days ago, one of them looked at me and wrinkled his brow. He said, I ain't never heard that before in my life. He said, that's brand new to me. Where do you get it? Hebrews chapter number 9. Some of y'all ain't getting it. Let me read it again very quickly. Want to be very time, watch verse 12. Neither by the blood of bulls, of goats and calves, but by his own blood. What did he do? He entered in, was to the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Are y'all okay? You say, all right, smart Elliot, you think he went to heaven and sprinkled the blood? When did he do it? And I realize no preacher has got a corner on all truth, but I'm not going to tell you where I believe the Bible allows for it to have happened. Resurrected Jesus got up out of the grave. Mary Magdalene was the first to see him. Could I get an amen? Oh, she got excited. He cast 7 demons out of her. You get excited when somebody will do that for you. And she's a-coming after him. She's a-going to hug him. She wanted to love on him. And he said, Mary, touch. You can read about it in John 20. Touch me not. I have not yet ascended to my Father. Could I get an amen right there? in Matthew 28. Later that evening, the disciples saw him, and they was all over him. Brother Kurt, there's a hugging him. There's a kissing him. There's a grabbing him. I'm a telling you, that made physical contact in their love with Jesus. Anybody here believe that? It's in the book. All we got to do is put two and two together. He said, Mary, don't touch me. I ain't been to heaven yet. I got to go to my Father. A few hours later, them disciples was a-hugging on him and a-kissing on him. What do you make of that, preacher? All I can make of it, he'd been to the Father. Brother Bagwell, you need a science lesson. You just can't go to heaven and back that quick. We ain't got no plane that can do that. We ain't got no rocket that can do that. But I know of one glorified body that can do it. Hallelujah. It's the body of the Son of God. He went to his Father. I believe he sprinkled the blood of the mercy seat. And I believe he came back and loved his disciples. Does that sound crazy? Is anybody with me tonight? I'm not preaching on the blood of Jesus. I ain't ashamed of the blood. I appreciate the blood. Thank God for the blood. The blood hadn't lost its power. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah for the blood of the Lamb. Glory to His name for the blood. Don't let me ramble. You mean you believe he's in heaven right now at the right hand of the Father? Uh-huh. And you do too if you believe the Bible. And you believe that blood's over there on that mercy seat? I sure do. Sometimes, I don't want you to misunderstand. Sometimes I think we give the devil too much credit. Sometimes it ain't even the devil that makes us sin. It's our own wicked selves. Our own flesh. Our own sin. But be that as it may. I think we say, oh, the devil, he's giving Jesus fits today. He's a working Jesus. He's the accuser of the brethren. When the devil is accusing you of something you've done, and God knows we all sin, comes short of the glory of God, and we fail. You say, what I think Jesus does. You say, well, I guess he has to fall on his knees and agonize for us. Well, I'm not going to discount that. I guess he has to. Tell you one thing he won't have to do, come back and die again on the cross. That was once and for all. I tell you what I think he does when I get in a mess. I think he lifts this finger under the mercy seat. I think he does this, Father. Father! He's accusing our yes! Father! What's that? That's the blood. What does it do? Washed away my sin. What does it do? Sanctifies the believer. What does it do? Gives me access to God. What does it do? It defeats the devil. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Let's go a little farther. And let's go a little more quickly. Verse 13. The blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on the unclean, if they sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. Hey, y'all. It just said the blood sanctifies. You know what I think? I think the blood does more for us than we realize. You say it justifies. Sure does. But I got it good authority, it sanctifies. Probably does a whole lot more. Oh, we're not going to leave our verses. What got me thinking about this blood? And I'm bad to do this. Probably shouldn't. Miss Bagwell was at Walmart. I thought I'd get one amen in here. I saw on the church sign the other day, it said, Walmart's not the only saving place. Hallelujah to God. I I wandered into a bookstore, and I'm sorry to say it wasn't a Christian bookstore, just one of them big secular superstores. I enjoy a little bit of science every now and then. I was over in the science section just messing around, and I saw this great old big wide book. All it had down the column didn't even have the author. It just said B-L-O-O-D, blood. Well, you just can't put that in front of a Baptist preacher without getting him interested. I reached over there and pulled that off. It said a medical history of blood. It's going to describe and discuss the medical approach to blood. Brother King, that sort of piqued my interest. Blood. Can I tell y'all something about blood real quick? And I'll be quick. I'm watching the time. Said blood history, really, blood history really began hundreds of years ago when people got sick. They thought the sickness was in the blood. Now I'm going to talk quick, so listen attentively. And to make them better, they'd take some of their blood out. They would bleed people, not your head, if you're with me. They'd bleed them. George Washington, our first president, died of complications from being bled on one occasion. They'd take their blood out. Finally, medical science says, we've sure made a mistake. We've been taking the stuff out that we ought to be putting in. They said, we have discovered something. Blood is what gives you life. Moses discovered it a long time ago. Another case of medical science finally catching up with the Bible. Hallelujah to God. And give them a while, they'll figure out we didn't evolve, that God made us. Give them a while, they'll figure out life begins at conception. Give them a while, they'll figure out the truth. I hope so, yes, sir. They said, we've got to put blood in people. That'll make them well. I'm hurrying. They didn't know where to get that blood, and medical science always starts with animals and will progress. They started giving men blood from animals. Feller would get sick, need some blood. They'd put some dog blood in him or some cow blood in him, an animal. Let me just announce this real quick. That won't work. Moo! That won't work. It won't affect you that way, neither. But it won't work. That won't work. Oh, there are a few recorded occasions where somebody's sick, receiving cow blood or pig blood or whatever animal it might have been, that they improved for a bit. If they didn't need too much blood, that might better. I saw the picture. Had a little sick boy laying down. They didn't even know how to use them tubes too good yet. That's coming right out of a lamb. An animal, four-legged lamb. And it's going right into him. And they said, we hope this lamb's blood will make him well.
Come on.
I don't know if you're going to believe this or not. I know a lamb who's got some blood that will make you well. Of course, I'm not talking about a four-legged lamb. I'm not talking about a quadruped. I'm talking about the Lamb of God, and His blood will wash away your sin. They got the archaeology. Thank God for archaeology. They help us sometimes. There's a digging down in the earth. This is true. Just hear me real quick. And they come across a strata, a layer of blood. The rock was blood permeated. The soil was blood permeated. They said, we struck blood here in the earth. What it was, well, the hut has the site of a monastery. I thought there's a Catholic in the house. For a minute, scared me a little bit. monks would bleed each other. Every few days they'd bleed each other. And you see, they split the blood. They threw the blood out. And they said there was 300,000 pints of blood spilled at the site of that monastery. With the passing of time, the earth layers each other. They struck blood digging down. Just humor me a minute. I got to thinking, wonder what an archaeologist would do if he could dig down into that book right there. Can I tell you something? He would strike blood. Hey, start with Genesis. Let's go toward Revelation. It comes up. He'd hit some blood as soon as he started digging. Because Revelation is full of blood. When he got over there to Hebrews, Brother Ridley, he'd hit the blood again. Hebrews 9 and 10 are the bloodiest two chapters in all the Word of God. When he got down to Calvary, he had hit the blood that really counts. Hallelujah to God. You say, preacher, when would he get out of the blood? He wouldn't get out of the blood till he got to the bottom, because Genesis starts with the blood. Hallelujah. You following me, aren't you? I'm excited. God's given me liberty, and I praise Him for it. Somebody's praying for me. They didn't know about this transfusion stuff. What they did, they said, that animal stuff ain't working. We got to get blood from people. We got to put blood from people into people. Aren't you glad they discovered that, Brother King? That scientific ability, transfusions. I'm going to tell you something you won't believe. And medical science still could do it, but they won't. They said, we'll get blood out of a dead man, cadaver? Somebody that knows cadaver? They said, we'll get blood out of a cadaver, a freshly dead man or woman. You can't draw it from around their heart. That won't be any good. From the extremities, the legs, the arms. They drew blood from a cadaver, from a dead man, put it in dying human beings. And they got better. Got well. Got up and walked away with renewed strength. Somebody say amen. You say, that don't make a lick of sense to me. I ain't never heard of the blood of a dead man helping nobody get better. It will work. It will work. The more I'm thinking about it, I know the blood of one who died 2,000 years ago, he died. Somebody save me. Die on the cross. Save my soul from hell. I shall not call him a cadaver. I shall not call him a dead man. He was raised from the dead. But he had to die to save me. Hallelujah. Blood from a cadaver. Make a man get well. I guess you regret me finding that blood book, don't you? Sister Barbara Zuloff is a nurse. I believe she'll validate this. You take blood. You draw human blood. You put it in a test tube and let it sit. I'll tell you this. It will separate into three layers. The bottom layer will be red cells. The middle layer will be white cells. The top layer will be plasma. Blood separates into three layers. Blood is a trinity. What'd you say? Blood is a trinity. I don't think that's no coincidence. I believe God made it that way. And we'd all die and go to hell if it wasn't for the blood of God. God the Father planned it. God the Son said it. God the Holy Ghost applies it. Hallelujah for the Trinity. When it comes to blood. You say, you made that up. I didn't do no such thing. That's a medical fact. The man, I'm going to ask you to tell me when. And I'm going to stop when you say when. You're the man. You're our man. Oh my. They learned to transfused blood. Don't leave me yet. Just stay with me a little bit longer. Perfected it. Well, it honed it, made it more proficient in World War II. Them medics, they'd carry blood out to them wounded soldiers, got so they could go to the very battlefield. And Lockheed, they'd put that blood flowing in the veins of them boys who had been shot all to pieces, and they'd quit dying, they'd plug up the holes, and them boys would live. They would live because of somebody else's blood. Back in those days, hear me, they had a habit of writing on the side of the blood bottle who gave the blood. They'd put the donor's name on the bottle. And that poor old soldier would be laying there dying. And he'd know he's not to live long. And the medic would get there, start somebody's blood a-flowing, patch up the hole. He'd get the feeling stronger. He'd live and he'd survive. Said he'd get up and he'd say, "Come here, medic. Won't you tell me whose blood that was that you give me?" Now, they won't do that now. But back then, they would. Often, Brother Gary, it is the blood of a young lady. A young lady giving a young man soldier blood. And he'd say, "What's her name?" As soon as he got out, he'd go to the States and he'd look her up. And he'd say, "Young lady, I just feel real close to you. You don't know it, but your blood saved my life." And there's many a World War II record of where an old soldier fell in love the one who gave her blood for him. And he married her. And theoretically, at least, they lived happily ever after. You say, "That's the corniest preaching I ever heard." Well, let me just finish it off for you. One day somebody give me some blood. I was laying on the battlefield dead, on my way to hell. I was in a hopeless mess, but thank God His blood flowed through my veins and He saved my soul. And I looked Him up. Maybe I should say He looked me up and He saved me. I fell in love with Him. And we're going to get married. Glory, 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 glory. Just let me have fun, all right? Said one old boy, he wasn't blessed enough to get a lady's blood. Blood they put in him, he said, "What name, Nolan?" "No, it's not a lady." "Who is it?" "General Dwight D. Eisenhower." The little kid laying there bleeding to death was a corporal. Brother Steve, he was a nobody. Laying there dying, and they done put the general's blood in his veins. I don't think you're getting it yet. They said when that kid got to feeling better, said he got to walking around, said he got right cocky for a while, said he wanted to tell everybody what to do. And said, "You can't do that. You're just a corporal." Said he wanted to tell them officers what to do. He said, "Don't you bother me." He said, "I got a general's blood flowing in my face. You better not mess with me right now." Hallelujah to God. Devil better be careful how he messes with you. Hallelujah. The Son of God saved you by His blood. Hallelujah. Oh, well, there's a lot more, but you can go read the book.
You say, oh, we're supposed to be in church, preacher. I know. But for a few minutes, I want you to imagine yourself rather than simply being Christian. And that's a great privilege. Don't, I do not tell you. I want you to imagine that you're a hematologist. A what? A hematologist. That's a doctor who specializes in blood. I want every preacher to stand up just for a second. Every man of God. What's that? Y'all look at my soul. We're in a hematologist convention. Look at that. Man. What's that? They specialize in the blood. Special. You know, that's what we're called to do. We're called to specialize in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for hematologists. Thank you, man. Thank you. Well, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Notice there, God, the Holy Spirit, and Christ, all three members of the Trinity, involved in this blood transaction on the cross of Calvary. Two thoughts, and I'm through. I always enjoy preaching. Appreciate God's goodness. But I'm about to hurt myself tonight. Woo!
Amen. Bless the Lord.
It was when this blood transfusion stuff was just starting. It was brand new. No license to do it had been yet granted. It was hopeless. They said that transfusion stuff ain't going to work. There was a daddy. This little girl was dying. Hemorrhaging, complications seemingly incurable. And Brother King, he'd heard about that doctor over yonder, how that hospital was experimenting with that thing called transfusion. He went over there, Brother Doug. He knocked on that doctor's door. That doctor had already gone to sleep for the evening. Drowsily, he woke up. He came to the door. That daddy white as a sheet with fear. That daddy ghastly over the possibility of his little daughter dying. Daddy said, doctor, doctor, I need your help. My little girl's dying. I need some of this blood transfusion stuff that you're experimenting on. And the doctor said, sir, I'd love to help you. But then number one, it'd be illegal. This is not even licensed. Number two, I don't even have any blood in the house. There's not a stock of it. And oh, the daddy cried. The daddy begged. The daddy wept. Brother Rob, the daddy sought mercy. He sought grace at the hand of the doctor. The doctor grabbed his tubing. He got his razor blade. He got his thread and his little old needle, just a crude. And he tore out to the house. The little girl lay there dying. Folks, she was dying. There's no doubt she was dying. And the doctor said, we'll try it. He said, I don't know what's going to happen. He said, it may kill her. The daddy said, she's dying anyway, don't you see? And the doctor laid down. And the doctor said, I don't have anywhere to get the blood but from me. He said, I don't know anything about your blood or your wife's blood. He said, I'll have to give her my blood. And the doctor cut where the blood was flowing from his heart. Best he could, he inserted the tube. Best he could, he sutured it up so that it would not bleed profusely. And he cut the little girl in her veins. And he put the tube in, sutured it as best he could. And all of a sudden, the doctor lay down by the little girl, and the blood began to flow. First transfusion on record. Human transfusion. The blood flow. The doctor looked up at the daddy and he said, I don't know what this will do to me. He said, I may pass out, I may lose consciousness. He said, keep an eye on her. He said, I'll close my eyes, conserve my strength. He said, just let me know if anything happens to her. This blood will either kill her, or it'll make her, it'll begin to do something. It'll improve her. She lay there a few seconds. And the daddy said, doctor. The doctor, just keep your eyes closed. I don't want to. He said, doctor, I think her color is getting a little better. In fact, doctor, I'm sure of it. Her color is improving. Daddy reached down and touched her cheek. And he said, doctor, she's a warming up. She's not as cold as she was. Doctor, I'm almost sure she's warming. And in a few more seconds,
The little girl looked like her little eyelash blinked a little bit. And he reported that to the doctor. And all of a sudden she coughed. And all of a sudden she stirred a little bit. And you say, preacher, what's your point? Here it is. One day, I got hooked up to some blood you won't believe. One day, I got hooked up to the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? I hadn't been hooked up long, and my color got better. And you know what? I began to warm up, and my eyes opened, and I coughed and sneezed some. In fact, I was shouting a time or two. Thank God, church, I got hooked up to the blood of the Lamb. That's a medical fact. And the little girl lived. If you ever got hooked up to that blood, you're alive. Eternally alive. They did this now. Tried for years. Synthetic blood. A Japanese doctor, an absolute genius, invented it. But they couldn't find nobody who'd test it. The doctor who invented it said, I will. They took out his blood to the point of death. He said, take all my blood out until the point that I am at death's door. And he said, when the blood's gone, load me down with my invention, synthetic blood, man-made blood. He got better for a while, didn't live long, but he got, by the way, the devil's remedies never last long. Got better for a while. They even pronounced the synthetic blood a success. But shortly thereafter, he died. I'm through. I brought up that synthetic blood to say this. Theologians today have come up with some synthetic blood. They're taking the blood out of our songbooks. They're taking the blood out of some translations of so-called Scripture. I'm not questioning Scripture. I didn't word it right. I'm against taking the blood out of the book. And they're doing it. They're taking blood out of our vocabulary. And they're putting fake blood in. For me and my house, I'm a staying with the blood of the Lamb. Believe it's on the mercy seat in glory. Believe it still saves sinners. Believe it still sanctifies the children of God. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah for the blood. Glory to God for the blood of the Lamb.
Ha ha ha.